Morning, everybody. Well, let's get started. There's a couple more chairs if anybody wants to sit down. And we got a nice fire to stay warm, so. Let's start with prayer. Dear Lord God, we're here this Sunday morning, Father, and as always, we want to hear from you, Lord. Lord, as we follow you, so many times we don't know what direction to go or what we're supposed to do, Lord. So I just ask that you would give us wisdom, minister to us through your word, Lord, and just let us hear from you on this Sunday morning, Father. We thank you for the opportunity to do this in beautiful sunshine. And please send your Holy Spirit and just minister through me in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read a little story this morning. And it's kind of a little bit of a history lesson out of the book of Acts. And it starts Acts 1:1. We'll just start right there. It says, "In my former book, Theopolis, I wrote all about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day that he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions." In other words, this is Luke is writing this book. And he's talking right. This is, happens right after Jesus, when Jesus resurrected, and then he was taken up to heaven. It's right after that. It says, "After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after his suffering, he showed himself to these men, and gave convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God." In other words, after Jesus resurrected, he didn't just up and go to heaven. He went to his followers and let them know that he truly did resurrect. He wanted to give them proof that he resurrected. He didn't just up and go away like, okay, where is he now? He made darn sure that they knew that, where he went, that he was alive. It goes on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." In other words, he promised that after he left, they weren't going to be on their own. You know, because I'm sure they worried about that. Can you imagine trying to grasp all this to begin with? You know, the fact that he got crucified, and then, you know, 3 days later, here he is showing up, you know, in the middle of the room saying, "Here I am. Guess what, guys? I'm back." A lot better than Arnold, I'd say. And after he left, you know, he wanted to make sure that they'd be okay then also. And that's why he promised the Holy Spirit. But what would they need the Holy Spirit for? Well, let's read on. It says, "So when they met together, they asked him, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.'" So there was a reason that he sent the Holy Spirit. And their first thing was, "Well, you're sending the Holy Spirit because you're going to come back, because Jesus promised someday he's going to be back. He hasn't come back yet, but he is coming back. He guaranteed us that." And he's like, "No, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. You guys are not going to know when I'm coming back. I'm just going to show up one day. But the reason I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit is to give you power, to allow you to do what I asked you to do, which was spread his word all over the world. If they wouldn't have done that, we wouldn't be standing here today and talking about this, because we wouldn't have heard about it." So let's go on. It goes on. It says, "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them." In other words, the Holy Spirit made a grand entrance. It didn't just sneak in the door. It showed up, and everybody knew that it was there. And it, you know, it says that it's, you know, they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. And that would probably freak me out if that happened today. Jesus, when he was here, he did a lot of miracles. And a miracle like that probably didn't surprise them as much as the fact, I mean, they actually were able to see something did happen. It wasn't just something that he said. They did see that it happened. And then the crazy part is they began to speak in other tongues, which in this place is talking about different languages. I mean, they went outside and started talking to all these different people from different parts of the country, and they all could understand them. Now, that would be one heck of a miracle. But I want to go on, because it says, now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, the crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Wouldn't that be awesome if you spoke and everybody could just understand it? Now, the internet, they actually have tools where you can do that now, where you will write something and it translates it for the other person on the other end to where they can read it in their language. It'd be kind of something like that. I think it'd be pretty cool. But why did he do that? I mean, did they need the power just to spread the word? No, they needed the power also to be able to live the way God intended them to live. Because if God doesn't give a person direction, it's real easy to get out there and not know what you're supposed to do. And that's what I'm kind of leading up to with this. This is almost, if you take what happened right then, that little history lesson, it truly applies to us also. You know, what happens? First thing that happens, we meet Jesus. In other words, we get saved. That's one way to say it. Or we receive him as our Lord and Savior. They got all these, you know, everybody has some that calls it something. But truly what it means, you met Jesus. You said, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died for me. I believe you rose 3 days later and you paid the price for my sin. That's truly what it means to meet Jesus. And they met Jesus at the beginning, if you remember right. Okay, what's the next thing that happens? When you make that decision, if you truly believe in Jesus, if you truly make that decision, he will reveal himself to you. All of a sudden, he becomes reality. Just like he showed up for them that day, or he did it more than just once, but just like he showed up for them, he will reveal himself to you and say, here I am. I am real. Now, if you're, you know, I've heard of this happening different ways. When my wife received Jesus as her Lord and Savior, she said it was just like somebody wrapped their arms around her and just held her. She is a very emotional type person. Me, personally, I'm not that emotional. I didn't feel a thing. But what happened in the next few days, things started becoming different. And I started looking at things different. I started acting different. And I'm like, where's all that coming from? Well, I knew where it was coming from. It was coming from Jesus. I had met him, and he was changing me. So there's the part that we meet him, okay? But then where do we go from there? Do we just, okay, now we go on our merry way and everything's great? No, see, now is when we need the Holy Spirit. That's the next step. And just like the Holy Spirit came to them that day, when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he reveals himself to you. The Bible says the Holy Spirit comes and indwells you. It comes inside you and indwells you, and it gives you power. Well, what do you need power for? Well, let's read and see what the Bible says. That's I always like to do that. You know, in John 14:25, it says, all this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, and here's what he's sending the Holy Spirit for, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Or as the Holy Spirit is the person that helps us. You know, the Trinity in the Bible is kind of hard to understand. You know, we serve one God that is made up of three persons. We have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It doesn't really make sense in our normal wisdom here, and it really doesn't make sense to me either, but that is exactly how the Bible teaches it. So I have to take it at face value, and God is so much bigger than I am. I shouldn't expect to understand everything that he tells me. Some of the stuff I have to just say, okay, God, you said it, so I believe it. And I think the Trinity is one of those. So God the Father is the one that initiated all of that. God the Son came and paid the price. And God the Holy Spirit is who helps us walk our life through all this. I mean, the Holy Spirit enables us. Why do we need enabled? Just like I said. Now it says it will, whom the Father will send in my name will teach you all things, will remind you of everything I have said to you. Now that was addressed to the disciples, so how do I know that still applies to us also? Well, luckily there's more proof in the Bible that says it also applies to us. Because when you go to Acts 10:44, it says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers, which that's where they're talking about the Jewish people, who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. The Gentiles is who they're talking about. That's us. The Holy Spirit was poured out on the Gentiles. It was poured out on everybody other than besides Jews. So, what's the whole point in this message? You know, I like to come to the track for two reasons. One, there's always people that miss Sunday morning church, and the Bible does tell us it's a good idea to go to Sunday morning church. So I like to come and help people do that. The second reason I come is because I want to see as many people as possible come to know our Lord Jesus Christ. But so many times you see evangelists, if you want to use that term, you know, they come into a town, they blow in, they have a revival, they get a bunch of people saved, as they call it, and on down the road they go. And then you're kind of left out there, you're hung out to dry, because all of a sudden now you don't know where to go after that. Well, and that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. That's your guide and your direction. And you need to know that that's available to you, and then you just need to, you know, if you're not sure how to read the Bible or if you're not sure how to do that, that's when you talk to people like me that can point you in the right direction. But God does not want you to have to fend for yourself. He doesn't hang you out to dry, as I said a minute ago, you know, as I've seen happen so many times. So make sure you realize that there is help for you. And you know, when we pray, you know, a lot of times we go, why, I never hear from God. Well, one of the reasons we don't hear from God a lot of times is when we ask him questions, some of them are no-brainers. You know, some of the stuff he has already told us about, so we should already know it. And usually, on a lot of things, we're just wanting somebody to say it's okay to do it, even so we already know we're not supposed to. But besides that, you know, when we pray, if we take time to listen, you know, we probably will hear a lot more. Usually we're on the run. You know, we say a 2-second prayer and down the road we go. We say another 2-second prayer and down. We never give time for God to speak to us. So we got to take the time to do that. And if we do that, the Holy Spirit will help us. So when you read the Bible, say, hey, Holy Spirit, minister to me. You promise that you're here to be my helper. You do that, and you will learn more. I guarantee it. And just when you walk away from here, if you already know Jesus, just try to remember that you can draw on the power of God. That's the promises in the Bible. If you don't know Jesus, you really should. Because you never know how many days you got in this on this earth. You know, I have that big truck theory. You might step out in front of a truck, and it'd be awful if you didn't know, if you don't know Jesus, if when that happens. And hopefully it won't happen. I mean, I'm not wishing that on anybody. But I would sure like to know that you know where you're going when it's all over, and that you walked as good as you could walk with God's power. With that, I'd like to close. Dear Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Lord God, if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, we'd all be running around, they were saying, like chickens with their head cut off. But Father, you empower us through the Holy Spirit. You give us wisdom. You give us direction. You show us how to read your word using the Holy Spirit. Everything that we do depends on the Holy Spirit to give us the direction. So, Father, I ask right now that you would use your Holy Spirit to touch the people that don't know you yet, to draw them to you, to where they might make a decision for Jesus. And the ones that already do know you, Lord, just draw them closer and remind them that you're there, that you will answer their prayers and that you will guide them. Lord, we thank you so much for that. Lord, as we get ready to go race, we just thank you for this awesome day. Thank you for the beautiful track that RJ's prepared for us and for the fact that he's letting us do this out here. Father, keep us safe. Let us have a good time and do everything for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for coming.